Chapter 37. Heartbreak. I was an emotional mess after the breakup with my Greek boyfriend, but somehow I managed to get myself to my office at the Argent Manufacturing Company and do a week's work, even though the excruciating pain of disentanglement lingered for months. My workmates sensed there was something amiss, as I struggled to conceal my emotional turmoil. I willed myself not to become emotional when we gathered for morning tea or lunch. My big boss was a kind and caring man who was approaching retirement. I'd worked for him for 3 years, during which time he had kept a paternal eye on me. For example, he arranged a second mortgage on my house through his connections with the Independent Order of Rechabites. Naturally, I was suitably grateful. He'd occasionally seen my male friends drop me off or pick me up from the Argent building over the years. No doubt, news of my recent breakup had filtered through to him. One day he took me aside, saying, "Morley, why don't you find a nice Australian bloke and settle down?" I was flabbergasted. His question didn't make me feel any better, because deep down I knew finding a replacement for Yanni wasn't the solution to my despondency. But I didn't know what was. In early 1973, my mother returned from Mexico, where she'd completed 12-month study towards a Master of Fine Arts degree. Shocked by my emotional state, she could only stay with me for a week before heading back to the New Guinea Highlands to take up the reins of the wool project once more. On her return to Goroka, things had changed. Rather than resuming her position, she chose to accept a transfer to the Department of Trade and Industry's head office in Port Moresby. Once relocated, she could feel the winds of change strengthening in the months leading up to Papua New Guinea's first step toward independence from Australia. Most expatriate public servants like my mother felt uneasy. Unsure of the future, many were making plans to leave behind the privileged lifestyle Papua and New Guinea had given them for many years. Likewise, my mother began looking around for other employment opportunities. Her next job offer came out of left field. Since returning from Mexico, she'd been in constant contact with Sterling Dickinson, the co-founder and director of the Instituto Allende. Out of the blue, she received a letter from him, offering her a position on faculty. Bingo! She'd been thrown a lifeline, just as she was preparing to leave Papua New Guinea. Immediately, she accepted his offer, excited that Central America would be her next destination. In spite of the unrest swirling around her, my mother remained acutely aware of my delicate emotional state and suggested a geographic cure for my broken heart. She kindly offered me 2 weeks' holiday in Port Moresby before she resigned from the Department of Trade and Industry. I jumped at the chance, desperate for a change of scene, even though I knew Port Moresby's relentless heat and humidity would be in sharp contrast to the glorious temperate climate of the highlands we'd enjoyed for so many years. To be honest, I don't remember much about the visit, other than swanning around in my mother's light grey Mercedes-Benz 230 compact and doing some experimental woven wall hangings with the Port Moresby weavers. From somewhere we sourced some colored perspex. We cut it into rounded shapes and randomly placed each one between the warp threads before weaving around them using a haphazard open thread technique. Our objective was to produce a prototype for a trendy, saleable product with appeal for those folk aspiring to live a sophisticated lifestyle surrounded by locally produced decorative pieces. I've no idea if the idea caught on, but I doubt it. The object of the exercise was to give me something creative to do, rather than mope around. After 2 weeks of rest and recreation in the tropics, I returned to my Sydney life. In early December that year, my mother followed, leaving behind the wool project she'd worked so hard to establish in the country she'd called home for 13 years. Many other expatriates had already left, spooked by the maelstrom of rumors that all expatriates' assets were earmarked for appropriation after the 1st of December 1973, the day Papua New Guinea was to become self-governing. My mother was fortunate. On the day before self-government was proclaimed, her precious Mercedes-Benz was the last vehicle to be loaded onto an Australia-bound ship from the Port Moresby Wharf. As it turned out, there was no clamour for assets by the Papua New Guineans. The anticipated rioting didn't come to pass. Instead, the population joyously celebrated the first stage of their release from decades of colonial control. When my mother returned to Australia, she came to stay with me at Yonge Street. Whilst she was preparing to move to Mexico, she had the opportunity to observe how I lived. One evening, she asked me, "What are you doing with your life?" I replied, "Going to work. Coming home. Fitting what I can of my social life into the hours that are left. Going to sleep. Getting up in the morning, and doing it all over again." My mother paused before responding with, "Come to Mexico." I could hardly believe my ears. Wow! What a truly golden opportunity! The deal was that I'd be given a return ticket to Mexico City, $1,000 cash, and a full scholarship to study at the Instituto Allende, in San Miguel de Allende, where my mother would be teaching. A scholarship was one of the perks for the relatives of faculty members. Free tuition? An offer impossible to refuse. Early in 1974, excitement levels were ratcheting up as I prepared to leave Australia. My possessions were sorted and stored in the ceiling of my house. I advertised my cute green Fiat 600, set up my power of attorney with our family lawyer, found a reliable real estate agent to manage my house rental, and then, the final and most difficult task, to quit my packaging design job with the Argent Manufacturing Company. My car sold quickly, so I drove my mother's Mercedes to work for the final days. Before I left, my big boss had one last surprise for me. One afternoon he came down to my office to ask if he could sit in my mother's car. I was somewhat taken aback but replied, "Of course." And as an afterthought added, "Would you like to take it for a spin around the block?" He declined, happy just to sit, as he'd always wanted to sit in a Mercedes-Benz, and I was more than happy to oblige. At the end of January, D-Day arrived. Friends waved farewell as we boarded our flight bound for Mexico City via Hawaii and Los Angeles. Thanks to my mother's generosity, another exciting adventure was about to begin. On reflection, I now realize my mother's decision to leave Papua New Guinea after living and working there for 13 years severed our connection with the country and its people, though I wasn't aware of it at the time. I'd thoroughly enjoyed my formative years at Rabaul High School, and afterwards, as I travelled back and forth to the Highlands some 20 times. Even though my emotional connection to the country remained strong, my feelings were sidelined as we headed off across the Pacific to the Americas. Thankfully, I was able to reconnect some 34 years later, when I returned to Rabaul in 2007. The Argent Manufacturing Company. I had mixed feelings about leaving Argent. I was both sad and happy at the same time. I loved my job, which was my first dip into the world of commercial printing. I arrived there with a basic commercial art training, which my immediate boss, the very talented other half of Argent's art department, fine-tuned and enhanced. I'd been working there for 3 years, when I was offered a life-changing opportunity to continue my art studies overseas. It was an offer I'd have been crazy to refuse, and I was super excited. Packaging design skills. I've come to realize I was an important member of the Argent Manufacturing Company's team. We, my immediate boss, and I, attracted and retained customers because we provided a comprehensive service. We oversaw all kinds of packaging printing jobs, taking the job from conceptual design through to production and delivery. The packaging skills I acquired at Argent were put to very good use when I needed to design crates for touring thematic exhibitions, to visit galleries and museums. But that's another story. Facts. Papua New Guinea independence was a two-step process. The first step was for the country to become self-governing. Chief Minister Michael Somare pledged to lead the country to self-government on the 1st of December 1973, and then to full independence from Australia on the 16th of September 1975. And he kept his word. He was Prime Minister from 1975 until 1980, and again from 1982 until 1985.